there. You're listening to the Park Rush Podcast. This is a theme park podcast. I'm Tom, and I'm here to introduce our final episode of 2023. What a year it has been. I think fair to say a mixed year for both the podcast and for myself, and I think for Josh as well. Sort of first 7 and a bit months were pretty damn awesome. The last 5 or so, really challenging, I have to say. As for the podcast, well, I think in terms of content, I like to think we've put out some really good stuff this year. Lots of great episodes, lots of trip reports, lots of good stuff on the YouTube channel and the Instagram page where we've grown massively this year, which has been fantastic. But I must admit, you know, the listener numbers on the podcast itself have not been consistently brilliant. They've been more up and down this year than maybe any year since we've been doing this. And sometimes it can be hard to kind of motivate ourselves to sit down and do it. But I think that, you know, I've definitely been pretty grateful to have the podcast sometimes, you know, when I've been struggling. This has got quite deep all of a sudden, but I didn't really know how else to introduce this particular episode where what I've done, something that I've wanted to do kind of every year that we've been doing this, and I've always kind of balked at how much work it has been. But this year, more than any other in recent times, I've been really keen to reflect on and try and find the light, try and find the positives, and remind myself that this year has actually not been entirely terrible. So I sat down for a few hours overnight earlier in the week when I was preparing for a run of overnights at work and listened back to chunks of every episode that we have released this year and cut out a little bit that made me smile, and have put them all together into a kind of end of year Park Rush celebration. So every episode we recorded this year is represented, apart from our little dispatches from specific trips. So I did a few dispatches from Seville, for example. I haven't included those. These are clips from like proper episodes, I guess you could say. And yeah, it was fun to listen back. It was quite emotional listening back at times, but it was a nice reminder that, as I say, the year hasn't been all bad. So hopefully this brings a smile to your face as well, makes you chuckle, and brings back some good memories if you are a long time listener. Have a fantastic new year if you're up to something fun. Hope you've had a great Christmas too, and we'll see you again in 2024. Without further ado, here is, I suppose, the Park Rush 2023 highlights reel. Enjoy. One thing 2023 should bring us, Josh, actually, is an opportunity to return to the theme park film review series, because I believe, as it stands, that Haunted Mansion remake is due for release this year.
So. Oh, yeah. Cannot wait.
We'll be back. I wait with bated breath for what that might be. If you haven't yet watched the first Disney Lads vlog, then do go and check it out. I thought it was great. I must say, though, Josh, I don't know. The parade footage, I think it's fair to say, is extensive. I mean, was Peter Jackson there with you in the edit suite? Is that just kept running?
Yeah. I went to get a little bit of everything that went by, and then, but yeah, it's always about finding the right place to cut, and sometimes you just don't want to cut it. It's all, the parade is so good.
It's the best place to see that Disneyland Christmas parade, frankly, without going there, because just about the entire thing is there for you in glorious 4K. You want to get in touch with the Park Rush podcast, then the best way to do it is to email us podcast@parkrush.com, or get in touch on Twitter, where you can find us at Park Rush Podcast. We've got correspondence in both of those places this week, and unfortunately they are both pointing out that we were wrong about things.
It's becoming like Correction Corner.
Yeah, maybe we should change the music. I should just replace it with something like Josh, 3 years in, finally got COVID.
In the year of our Lord 2023, finally, it's hit you.
It's finally got me. I know. What are the odds? What are the odds? I feel so behind on behind on the times, you know. At least no imminent holidays to be ruined by COVID this time.
That is true, yeah.
And it does mean that, you know, I have a nice husky voice for this week's podcast, which I'm sure will be a delight to everyone listening. Anyway, I hope things are better with you, Josh. No COVID to be seen over there.
No COVID, no. Well, I assume not.
Josh, have you seen fit this week at all to put a bid in on any of the mason jars of Splash Mountain water that we found on eBay last week?
No. The more I think about it, the more I find it sickening, if I'm honest.
Well, yeah. I've just had a look for you. The prices are all over the place, I have to say. So there's one just sort of a bog-standard water bottle, you know, it could be an Evian bottle with its branding ripped off or something. That's going for a mere £10 for 500 mil of your finest Disney Splash Mountain water.
I hope it's sealed. I hope it's it's actually just a bottle of Evian.
But then you keep going down and you've got like 100 quid, 200 quid, £16.52, £247.79 if you want it in an 8-ounce mason jar.
Jesus.
Someone is selling it in like... you know, one of the like a plastic filing sheet, you know, that you'd put in a ring binder. Someone's selling it in a plastic in a picnic bag. I think that is like a sealable picnic bag for £206. It's kind of mad, actually. Somebody somehow is selling it with a certificate of authenticity. I highly doubt Disney gave him that.
Who has issued that? It's either that or it becomes a chain, doesn't it? That's the two ways it goes. It's, you know, you're either expecting an IP to go in there or Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, no. No. I mean, they've already got Starbucks just across the way. That's the thing. That is a power move, if I do say so, by Universal to say, yeah, we'll have a Starbucks, sure. But we're so confident in our own in-house option, we're just going to keep that there too, literally just across the way.
Mm.
So yeah, the people in the queue...
Disney would never.
Disney don't have it in them. They're scared. They're scared of Starbucks.
Yeah.
Whereas Universal are like, yeah, put that thing over the other side of the street. And we're confident that while people are in you know, an overly long line for some average coffee, they'll look across the way, see people tucking into a gorgeous chocolate chip cookie and a lovely coffee and think, oh damn, those guys have got the right idea, maybe I'll just go over there.
That could have been us.
Could have been us, yeah. Well, it's always me, Josh. Never see me in Universal Starbucks. I'm straight to the croissant, mate. I've got a bit of a theme park craving. I feel ready for a theme park. It's been almost 3 months since I was in a theme park. I could do a theme park right now.
I could do a theme park, yeah, anytime between now and whenever.
Before death takes me, I could do a theme park.
Yeah, maybe one.
Good to know. It's a good stance to take when you do a theme park podcast, I would say.
Yeah. You just really want to go to Legoland.
I can't deny it. I'm looking for someone to tell me it's okay.
For me, I still think it's weird for a group of adults to go to Legoland.
Right. But why, Josh?
Because none of the rides are remotely for adults.
Oh, maybe I'm not going for the rides. I just want to see the intricately built models, you know. I want to see the Lego London and the Lego whatever else they've got. I haven't been for so long, I forget.
I'd argue that you're paying a hell of a lot of money for to see some models. I mean, they're good models, but Jesus.
I do like Lego, though.
It's like 50 quid entry or something.
I imagine how good the stamp must be, Josh. At the Lego shop at Legoland.
Oh, imagine if there's no stamp.
Oh, what a kick in the teeth that would be. I've taken a massive hit to my social credibility by going to Legoland as a quote-unquote grown man by himself with no children. And yet, and I can't even get a stamp.
Hello there. You are listening to the Park Rush podcast. I'm Gary Lineker. You may have heard that my normal Saturday plans were cancelled this week, so I'm here instead to talk about my true passion, theme parks. I've never told anyone this, but I actually missed my beloved Leicester City winning the Premier League in 2016 on the day they won the title. I was actually at Alton Towers. They've got some cracking rides down there, much better than Thorpe Park, which is really a park of two halves, you might say. Half of it has great rides, the other half smells of weed. Wrighty has always been more of a fan of Legoland. He just loves the building work.
As a theme park podcaster of, I'm told, some repute.
I don't know who told you that.
It was your mum. I thought you would surely come along. You know, you would adhere to the results of the legally binding Twitter poll that the Park Rush podcast account ran about whether or not Legoland was a suitable destination for adults without children. It came back with a glowing endorsement of yes. And I did what the people said. You refused, Josh. You didn't listen to democracy.
Well, we know where that gets us.
As luck would have it, just before we started recording, I received a Sky News breaking push alert on my phone, which was headlined along the lines of, is Florida in danger of being taken over by the far right? And I thought, great. Okay. Yeah, maybe. Just avoid Florida.
In danger, as if it hasn't already happened.
Well, Mickey's holding on, Josh. Mickey's holding on.
But he's fighting the good fight.
He's fighting the good fight, yeah. When the neo-Nazis march upon Cinderella's castle with their pitchforks and torches, will Mickey survive? Will he be able to make a last stand? I don't know.
It's sort of poetic in a way, because Florida has the right wing and Paris has the left wing, right? With the protests going on over there.
Who knew Disney theme parks would prove such a backdrop to social unrest and upheaval? Incredible.
I have some amusing stories of, you know, being a full-grown male and being at Peppa Pig Park. So that's a whole different one.
that sounds like that's for our Park Rush After Dark series, which is
it's not good. And trust me, there were far more embarrassing things than me. So that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, I'm not sure I believe you, but okay. My first thought upon this possibly lost child coming to sit next to us was to say, that's an awesome sword, man. Where'd you get it? And proceed to have a conversation with him about his cool sword, including asking him whether he had killed any monsters with it.
I mean, he seemed very impressed with you just asking him about these.
He seemed kind of into it. I think he thought it was quite rude when you interrupted our very cool conversation to ask him, and where are your parents?
I'm sorry. Do you know where your parents are?
those were the monsters he'd killed with his sword. It took a dark turn, that conversation, but I was pleased to have met the kid and confident that I'll never end up on his hit list. He clearly means business, but he seemed to think I was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that makes one person.
Two.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed tuning into the Park Rush podcast while you've been away, Josh. We had, I think, an unprecedented two women in a row on the podcast. So don't ever say we're not doing our bit for equality, Josh.
We try.
We're so committed to it, in fact, they even get equal pay.
Yes, very much so. Some might argue they get paid more because we get paid negative money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The only thing they're wasting on being on the podcast is time. We waste time and money by doing this every single week. There was one year, this was probably going back 15 years or something, I would have to imagine. We were driving around Florida, driving around the Orlando area, stopped at a junction, an interchange, and another vehicle, we're waiting at the traffic lights, another vehicle pulled up next to us, and the windows rolled down and kind of beckoned to my dad in the driver's seat, wanted his attention. Dad rolled the window down, and they were looking for the big orange. And rather than say, I don't know,
We tried. I say we. I had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, you were just sat in the back. Like,
I was just sat in the back going, woo! Yeah. My dad tried to give directions. And to be fair, we were familiar with the Big Orange. We knew what they were talking about. So there was some expectation, I think, probably in my dad's head that he would be able to provide the directions. But I think he quickly realised once he started to give them that he didn't really know what he was talking about.
He was out of his depth.
Anyway, he sent them off on the direction that we told them to go to find the Big Orange. We went off in the opposite direction. We rather quickly drove past the Big Orange ourselves. Okay, how sick would you feel if you were kind of next to go on a ride and then someone turned up in the genie line to nick the last spot on that particular train and you turn around and it's Ron DeSantis.
And his Mickey ears.
His Mickey ears, yeah. With his goofy popcorn bucket.
He's got a robot on his back
on his shoulder. He's got his lounge fly back. Right.
Ratatouille rat on his shoulder.
Yeah, Ratatouille on one shoulder, Porg on the other. Having a great time. He's got Mickey pretzel cheese down his T-shirt. State of him. I would honestly say that my overall experience of Ferrari Land was pretty uninspired and a little bit underwhelming, but this coaster was kind of astonishing. And I texted you, I haven't got my phone to hand, but I texted you straight afterwards something along the lines of, so I just did this ride and now I'm having a lie down, which I can't remember the last time a ride did that to me. Maybe it was Mission Space or something like that at Epcot, but I really was like, I don't know what I've just been through. I need to go chill out somewhere.
Genuinely gone for a sit down just to contemplate my experience. Existence. Contemplate my existence.
My existence. Wow, that escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Rarely are zoos that are great for the animals great for the guests, because they look after them well, give them lots of space, and you can't see the poxy things because, privacy, I want to hide away from the... Let the human see the zoo, I'm a paying customer, Josh. Come on.
God damn it. Bloody animals.
Pathos Zoo is like, hell yeah, I'm going to put six lions in a 4x4 space. You're going to see some lions here.
Jeez.
That's an exaggeration, but it's not. Oh. You know, just full disclaimer. You know, there are a few eyebrow raising enclosures. I'll put it that way. Okay.
Yeah.
No rides, by the way, but something that did remind me of Disney, which I wouldn't have expected, frankly, from this, you know, fairly modest zoo. They put on a transit bus.
Oh.
Yeah, a little. It's quite small, almost looks like a little tuk-tuk or something. It's got Pathos Zoo branding all over it, and it just stops at bus stops, dedicated bus stops, just for the zoo outside sort of three or four hotels in the vicinity, and picks you up and takes you on your merry way off to the zoo, which is very exciting. Although I didn't get on the bus because there were two women at this bus stop with us who were absolutely ruthless, and frankly there was a suspicion that they weren't even going to the zoo, because I don't think they knew each other. They just didn't seem like the zoo types. You know, this bus was full of families, and there was just these two ladies. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I shouldn't judge books by their cover, and they absolutely were off for maybe a solo day at the zoo. But
maybe.
I don't know. It just seemed like they wanted a free trip somewhere else that the zoo was on the way to, and because it's a free bus. So,
right, yeah.
They took the last two seats on the bus, and we didn't get on the bus, but we did get to the zoo, and it was all right. So there you go. Short Fair view enough. Of Pathos Zoo. We'll start with Mr. Ben, who made me very jealous by tweeting us pictures from the Disney Dream, where they have a kids' club, and within that kids' club, they have a room entirely dedicated to Disney Infinity. It's basically a graveyard to all intents and purposes.
A shrine to all our sins.
Yeah, absolutely. A shrine to all the bad decisions they've made. I mean, we'll get to it later in the show, but maybe actually the most thematically appropriate thing to do with the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel is in fact to turn it into a Disney Infinity Museum.
Oh, yeah, please.
Right?
Yeah. What else are you going to do with the space?
Exactly. That makes way too much sense. But yeah, this Disney Infinity room looks pretty cool. So, I should say the Disney Dream, by the way, is one of these Disney cruise ships. So, I'm doubly jealous of Mr. Ben, but it's definitely the Disney Infinity.
Oh, you mean like the Galactic Star Cruiser?
Yes. Well, this is an actual ship that goes on actual water off an interstate in Florida.
And hopefully won't sink like the Galactic Star Cruiser.
Well, yes. Yes, yes. The Galactic Star Cruiser, the first land-based vessel that has ever sunk. But no, in all seriousness, I thought The Little Mermaid was pretty good. It was definitely one of the better Disney live-action remakes, which I know might sound like a backhanded compliment, or a back-finned compliment, perhaps. But, it was enjoyable. I had a good time.
What is the next best then?
I'm trying to think of ones that I've actually enjoyed, because for the most part, the ones that come to mind are ones that I really didn't like much at all, like The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast I didn't care for. What else have they done? The Jungle Book, not sure about that one either.
I don't care for that.
No.
I think Cinderella's probably the best one, but it's kind of...
I don't think I've seen that one, actually.
Ledham's decent. Guy Ritchie.
Yeah. Apples and pears, Jasmine, apples and pears. That was my favourite bit.
2B4B, 2B4B.
It's all got a bit meta. It's not the company. I mean, the podcast.
Are we going to get Nick Clegg on next, or...?
Oh, I mean, he'd be great at working for Disney, because he'd be the perfect man to announce stuff with amazing concept art and then about a year later have to come out and be like, sorry, I'm so sorry, but it's not happening the way I said it would. In fact, it's not happening at all in some cases. So, yeah, he seems made for a job at the Disney Parks department. I did try on some Spanish the first time I went.
Wow.
And I think it speaks volumes that the second time I went, I was just like, I'll have a hot dog, please, mate. So, there we go.
What's hot dog in Spanish?
I think it was just hot dog. It was like hot dog vegetal, I think is what I wanted in particular. But then, you know, they ask you follow-up questions, which in the heat of the moment, they could be asking you just about anything, Josh. I mean, if I didn't get so flustered when someone spoke to me, even in English, to be honest, but certainly in Spanish, I think most people would probably work out pretty quickly that, well, they're obviously asking me if I want ketchup or mustard, but I completely lost sight of what was going on and panicked and just went, English.
English.
You have been distracted this week with your first new Lego set in quite some time. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. I was very fortunate to be gifted the Magic Kingdom Castle Lego set. It's not I don't know, don't want to get anyone's hopes up. It's not the full size one. It's the smaller scale one. But,
what kind of cheapskate got you the small one?
Who has space for the big one? You know, it's big. Gets everywhere, much like sand. It's great. I love it. You know, there was dinosaurs nearby.
True, yes. We did go to what I have to imagine is a Disney-affiliated, fully endorsed companion restaurant to the T-Rex Cafe, which was Jurassic Grill at Loch Lomond. Something else.
Oh yeah,
not quite a volcanic eruption, not quite the extinction event that you experience in the T-Rex Cafe every sort of 15 minutes, but we did occasionally hear just a dinosaur, or what I assume was a dinosaur, just going
yeah.
What about yourself, Josh? You you threading along to?
I'm having a lot of Blue Sky thoughts, really.
Oh, yeah. The hipster's choice for their Twitter replacement.
Yeah.
What goes on over there? It seems to me like there aren't enough people and you're probably just sort of screaming into the void.
There's dozens of us, Tom, dozens.
Any theme park fandoms made a home on Blue Sky at all?
Well, there is one feed that I follow at parkrush.com on Blue Sky.
Do they do much, or is their output about as scattershot as it is everywhere else?
I think it's pretty much the same as everywhere else, I have to admit. Yeah, theme parkitect is or parkitect is my go-to. It's my number one. It's my hometown boy.
Oh, excellent. Well, there you go, everyone. Go play some Parkitect. It's good use of time, unlike listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Do both at the same time.
Do both at the same time, yeah, why not? This is going to be a multi-launch Intamin coaster. Here's what Universal said about it in its press release. Equipped with a state-of-the-art ride system uniquely created to engulf guests within the dynamic Fast and Furious universe. Oh, boy. This all-new roller coaster will benefit from Universal destinations and experiences. I guess that's what they're calling themselves these days. Decades-long expertise in revolutionising the development of the contemporary roller coaster across its global theme park destinations. I hope it's like a racing coaster that are side by side for the entire duration until the last minute and then they split away.
Oh, God. Yeah, when I think toxic masculinity, I think Tom Akers.
Yes, 100%. That is my number one trait. That has followed me throughout life and got me to where I am, which is recording theme park podcasts in my childhood bedroom.
Yeah.
At the age of, well, let's just say an age that no real man would be recording theme park podcasts in their childhood bedroom. But I like to conquer stereotypes. That's what I'm doing here.
Absolutely.
Hello there, Josh. How's it going?
Very good, thank you. How about yourself?
Well, you know, last week, Josh, I said I was living a life of blonde fragility.
Yeah.
Same, except this time I'm not joking.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Hey-ho, we move, as they say.
We move.
And no matter what changes in your life, no matter who comes and goes, theme parks have always been there for me.
And for me. And for you guys at home. So I was looking forward to the cast being a good cast, and then... when I realised after the fact again that it was Jared Leto, I was like, oh yeah, no, that explains it. But yeah,
it's a good way to live, I find, just sort of forgetting about Jared Leto's existence.
Yeah, it's he's not worth my time or your time.
Have you ever enjoyed a Jared Leto performance?
I guess I kind of enjoyed him in House of Gucci, but in like a not in a he was good way, in a he was terrible way.
What do you mean it was a terrible performance? It was a great performance.
Hello there, Josh, how's it going?
Very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, can't complain. A week's gone by without having had to watch Haunted Mansion, so it's an improvement on last week.
Yeah, that film has already like been blotted from my memory. You know, you bring it up here, I had to then remember that we'd watched that film, and I now hate you for it, I'm afraid.
I see something on this weird thing called Threads that you went some recycling place recently. I don't know if that counts as a theme park trip, but you know, I thought maybe you forgot about me.
I think it does, actually, because the Park Rush podcast primarily is about recycling the same old jokes and the same old content on a weekly basis until we literally have no listeners left. I feel like there are enough bangers on there, you know, throughout her catalogue to sustain and support a Ride Rocket track selection. Even if you had to stick to five, there are more than enough on there, right? To choose from.
Yes,
what would be your choice?
Well, I personally, I wouldn't really care super much as long as every time I got on the ride, I had Idris Elba going, "We can go riding on in my scooter."
Yeah. Yeah.
Just give me that every time I get on the ride and I'll be like, whatever song you want.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I'm here for it. Big fan. That's a very good idea. And then you could argue that it's a Tay-Tay Fast and the Furious crossover because, of course, he has been part of that particular cultural behemoth as well.
Absolutely.
So there we go.
FNF across TS.
Yeah, yeah. She turns. How many more Fast and the Furious films are they going to do? How much time have they got to crowbar?
I don't know. Do you reckon Vin Diesel gets along with Tay-Tay? That's the real question here.
He doesn't seem to get on with anybody, to be honest, does he?
Apart from his family,
yeah.
Family.
Feeling good and ready for a theme park day out, the first one for a while, and the first one that we've done together since last Christmas. So it's been too long, Josh. Hopefully it lives up to that one. That was a fine trip to Disneyland Paris.
That was excellent. I'm pretty mild on Chesterton. You know, theme parks are theme parks. I'm always excited for theme parks. Yeah, Chesterton, it wasn't so great last time I went, but, you know, it won't be in the school holidays. So less kids and new rides. New rides I've never been on before.
Well, like I said, folks, make sure you follow us on the socials for what sounds like is going to be a thoroughly underwhelming day out. Well done, Josh.
And the crowd goes mild. Woohoo!
Well done, Josh. And we wonder why our audience has stagnated for so long. Not even we enjoy what we do. How can we expect anyone else to? I would be so down for a Star Tours sequence which takes place during the inspirational screw the fascist speech at the end of Andor. That would be so great, especially in the current climate, what with actual Nazis outside Disney World a lot of the time.
it'd be the best place, I think, for it.
Although I have to say, Josh, whilst that was definitely the best video I'd watched this week for most of the week, it has since been topped by footage of a black bear traipsing through the Magic Kingdom, having a lovely day out.
This is definitely something that's quite impressive.
We are taking all the reporting at face value. The videos do look legit. We are assuming that this is indeed a bear and not just a, you know, Winnie the Pooh on his lunch break or something like that. I mean, the Country Bears Jamboree, they've of course announced was closing. Josh, maybe one of them just lost it and went
strike.
They went feral. You've seen the footage, I assume. What's your take?
It's the thing with the park where it is. It's kind of in the middle of the wilderness, in the wild. These things just happen. It's not a super common occurrence in Disney because it's, you know, it is quite a swampland and the like. You do get more alligators and that sort of thing, but yeah, black bears are going to go hunting for food, as Yogi Bear often says.
What do they charge black bears to come into the park? Do we know? Because obviously kid tickets are kind of a disgrace, aren't they? They're only about $5 cheaper than an adult ticket. How much does a bear get in for? Do we have that information to hand?
Bears are actually more expensive.
Right.
I see. They're $5 more than an adult ticket. It's ridiculous. Right.
So why did they try and capture the bear? Did he not pay up? Did he try and jump a line or get into a lightning lane?
Yeah, he was queue jumping. It's out of order, really. He was queue jumping. You can't have that, as we all know.
No, it depends what ride he was trying to queue jump. You couldn't blame him if it was Winnie the Pooh. You could understand the excitement.
Yeah, well, again, unfortunately, it was Country Bears. The queue wasn't even that long, so I don't know what he was doing, but...
Alas. Yes, we're reading a report here from the Independent... The bear was reportedly spotted in a tree near Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Really is the wildest ride in the wilderness, Josh. this prompted Disney employees to stand at various locations in the park to stop
and just
guests
watch.
From getting there, which, I mean, what a message to have to convey to the guests. Like, oh, why can't we go in here? There's a bear.
Yeah, I know. There's just a lot of them. They play instruments. Like, no. No, like a real bear.
Real bear. Magic Kingdom, or any theme park like this, really, I would say it's probably one of the few locations where if you came across a bear, you would probably double take, right? Like, you wouldn't be, would you be immediately sure that it was a real bear? Or would part of you stop and be like, is this a park thing, or is that an actual bear? But of course, if you wait too long trying to work it out, it might be too late.
Face mold off.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if I saw it in a tree, I'd be like, oh, that's a real bear. Like this bear, I'd be like, oh, that's a real bear. If I saw a bear walking down the middle of Main Street, I'm like, man, that's a damn good animatronic.
On two legs.
Yeah. Just with waving at people.
There is also some fantastic trivia associated with Croc Drop. In 2020, so this is when the ride was still in development, its name was opposed by the footwear brand Crocs. And their opposition to it was not upheld by the UK Intellectual Property Office, so the ride could keep its name. But that's just ridiculous, right? It would not at all have crossed my mind that this ride was in any way associated with the Croc shoes.
I know, right?
It's literally because it's themed to a crocodile. We decided to play a dumb game with ET this year, and we decided, as a family of Arsenal fans, we would still celebrating our epic victory over Manchester City, that we would try and tempt ET into giving thanks to Mikel Arteta, the Arsenal manager. And so what we did was we went through the passport scan, and I gave my name as Mick. Someone was L, someone was Art, and someone was Etta. And I was like, this is never going to work. It's either going to be the same problem as normal, and he'll just say it, but he'll say it to the wrong bike, or he'll get it in the wrong order and we'll be like Elik Mateta or something, you know?
Yeah.
But mate, the dude absolutely smashed it out of the park. It was so, it was so funny. Just said ET.
So it allows you to get in the queues early without having the full day ticket. But
it's much more complicated than it used to be buying theme park tickets. The important thing to remember, though, is that everyone paid their way, and everyone bought their own tickets, and there was no scrounging off bank of mum and dad on this trip. We're all grown adults who bought our own tickets.
Big smirk on your face, as you say that.
We'll move on. This is an audio podcast. Visual references will go over everyone's head.
It's over to us, Becky.
It is our turn to talk about the theme park.
We will apologise ahead of time if we are not up to Tom's normal standard.
We do love a theme park, but not quite enough to make a podcast about it.
There's the first swearing.
I think Tom had a Dole Whip for the first time. Can you remember if he actually... I remember he took ages deciding, was it going to be a one in a drink or one on its own? But I think he quite enjoyed it, but he didn't kind of fill me with the need to try it myself, I have to say.
All I remember is he dropped it literally all down himself, like down his shirt, over his hands, on his shoes, literally everywhere. And we were standing outside Aladdin, like the flying carpet ride, by a really stinky bin, and Tom was just dropping Dole Whip all over him. So based on that experience, I wouldn't try it again. Or I didn't even try it, but it didn't really appeal to me. I think I got a bottle of water.
And I got a picture with Shaggy, Scooby and Velma, who were all very impressed with my Ruby impression, which was great.
Raggy was very impressed.
But there's a picture here of Woody Woodpecker and Winnie Woodpecker. And the caption on the photo on the Wikipedia page is, up until the COVID-19 pandemic, Woody and Winnie Woodpecker were among the mascots of Universal Studios, which makes it sound like they got COVID and died.
Oh, gone too soon.
Tell you what's not dead though, Spider-Man. That ride is still an absolute banger, a favourite of mine. And despite the fact that I really shouldn't be out here because with Doc Ock on the loose, this could be the most dangerous night of my life and yours, I'm careful every time, Josh, and I go on and I enjoy it. Still great.
Well, when you've got, you know, your neighbourhood Spider-Man looking after you, you're always going to be okay, I think.
Spotify Wrapped out this week does provide insight into your podcast habits. We found out this week, to my total shock,
and mine,
that we are a top 10 podcast for 68 people. We're
huge.
We're a top 5 podcast for 43 people, and we are a number 1 podcast for 13 crazy people out there. I don't quite understand it, to be honest. If you are one of them, prove to us that you're out there. I don't know, but I didn't like the vibe in here. But Vader kind of like, sort of with his arms crossed, kind of walks back and forth when you all get into position for the photo, kind of observing you. And a bit like the Stormtrooper, there's some, you know, I assume recorded dialogue that he will say, and he'll sort of identify one of you as a rebel spy or something. And yeah, it's kind of intimidating, actually.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll add is the lighting in the room where Darth Vader is horrible.
It's really bad. Yeah, if you're someone who kind of, you know, sometimes feels kind of bad about how you look in photos or in the mirror and stuff, don't go in here. Don't go in here. It'll do you no favours at all.
You like, oh, it'll, yeah.
The lighting in the Chewie room is nice.
Yeah, it'll give you like body dysphoria, the Darth Vader room.
I came out of the Chewie room feeling $1 million. Like, oh, right, time to re-download some dating apps because that's a nice photo. And then I came out of the Vader room like, oh, God.
That's what I look like. No.
Maybe it'll be hilarious as we find out why Spaceship Earth is, you know, embarrassing for you, Tom.
I fell asleep on it, Josh.
Wow. <Yep.
laughs> I fell asleep on Spaceship Earth. Yeah.
Because it was that boring, or a rough day of it? What happened?
It was a combination of things. So this was on the third visit to Epcot, which must have meant that it was in the kind of last 5 or so days of the holiday. And I cannot stress enough that I think I went to a theme park almost every single day of this 3-week trip, other than I think there were two days in like the 21 where I didn't go to a theme park. So I kind of overdid it. And I think it kind of caught up with me. I think it kind of caught up with me on this particular day. It's also worth noting that I am the virtual queue guy. You know, I'm the genie man. So I'm the one getting up really early to sort all this stuff out.
Yeah.
So I'm having early starts. I'm often having late finishes because I don't sleep well. And as I say, lots of theme park days. I think it caught up with me. Spaceship Earth is constantly stopping and starting because it's one of those omni-mover attractions where if someone takes forever to get in their ride vehicle or, you know, drops a flip-flop or something, you know, the whole thing has to stop.
Yeah.
And it kept stopping on the slow hill part. So I was sort of, to all intents and purposes, it was like I was on a recliner.
Right, yeah.
And it's dark and all you can hear are the dulcet tones of Judi Dench. I'm tired. You can understand, Josh, why this may happen to a man. But yeah, of course, it is quite incredible to say I fell asleep on a theme park ride. But I did. Absolutely. It's been quite the week. I must say I did not see it coming. The London Resort is back, baby.
Josh. Hell yeah.
Spoiler, it's not the London Resort. It is, in fact, Universal Studios Great Britain. Is that what we should go with for now?
Universal Studios. Yeah, that's what they're going with, yeah.
Universal Studios Bedford. to be precise.
Universal Studios Kempton Hardwick. I like the name of that.
Kempton Hardwick does sound like a Harry Potter character, so...
Exactly.
I feel like that's maybe in keeping with the kind of current Universal theme park space.